September 19th, Sharma Nidhi. What asked me?
Tasmai Sri Guruve Nama Guruve Guru Chandraya Radhikaya Tvadalaye Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tadvaktaya Namo Nama Yam Pravijantam Anupetam Apetakrityam Dvaipayano Viraka Taruajuhava Putriti Tanmayataya Taruvabanidhus Tam Sarvabhuta Hridaya Mani Manathosmi Bhaktya Vena Aparada Lakshay Chiptas Jagamari Tarangamari Kripamaitvam Sharanam Praparyam Brinde Namaste Charanaravindam Tavaivasmi Tavaivasmi Najivami Tanginam Iti Vigyaya Radhe
First, I offer my unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipable Diksha Gurudev. Nityalinga Pravishta Om Vishnupad Astotara Satishi Srimad Srila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. And the same unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipable Shiksha Gurudev. Om Vishnupad Astotara Satishri Srimad Srila Bhakti Vedanta Narayan Goswami Maharaj to all of our Guru Varga, disciplic succession, and all the assembled devotees. So we're continuing our course on the bhajans as manifested in Sri Gaudiya Gita Guch. Yesterday we discussed Sri Lalita Astakam by Srila Rupa Goswami, the glories of Srimati Lalita Devi. Because according to some, yesterday was her appearance day. According to some, today is her appearance day. According to some, today is the appearance day of Srimati Radhika. And according to some, it's tomorrow. So today we'll read from bhajans about Srimati Radhika. And we'll start from one of the main songs that Srila Gurudev has the devotees sing during their bhajan time. So perhaps we can first sing this bhajan together. It's on page 65 of the songbook. Not repeating, because there's not that much time, but just going through one time each. Radha bhajane jade mati nahi bela Krishna bhajana tava akarana dena ata parayita surarana ijani radha vivaita madhavani mani kevala madhava pujai sajani radhaya madhara karai abhimani kavai nahi karabhi tankar sanga chete chasiyari prajara sarang Radhika Dasi Jade Hoyadimana Shigra Inyanaitava Gokula Kana Brahma Shiva Narada Suti Naraya Radhika Pada Raja Pujai Mani Umarama Satya Sachi Chandra Rukmini Radha Vatara Sabe Annaya Vani Ena Radha Pari Jaya Jankara Dana Pakati Yara Tara Magai Charana Jaya Radhe Jaya Krishna Jaya Radhe Jaya Krishna Jaya Radhe Jaya Krishna Jaya Radhe Jaya Krishna. So we'll read the translations, and if there's anything to say that we've heard from our Guru Vaga, then we'll repeat that. This song, Glorification of Worship of Sri Radha, is written by the seventh Goswami, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He says, if the desire to serve Srimati Radhika does not appear in my heart, then my worship of Krishna is simply useless. When I first met Gurudev in 1992, one of the first things he ever said to me was that you are searching for Krishna, but you don't know that if you become a maidservant of Srimati Radhika, then Krishna will serve you. Because Krishna is incomplete without Radhika, therefore our worship of Krishna without Radhika is also incomplete. Krishna is the sun and Radhika is the sunlight. He is the powerful and she is the power. Can anybody imagine a sun without sunlight? It's impossible. Or sunlight without sun? It's impossible. Similarly, Krishna without Radhika is impossible. Gurudev said, without Radhika, his power, Krishna is powerless. Therefore, he is Nirvishesh Brahma, if we try to worship him without Radha. Just as the sun, in fact, that's the next verse, just as the sun cannot be perceived without the sunlight, in the same way, I do not recognize Madhav without Radha. In fact, what is the meaning of Madhava? Ma means the goddess of fortune. And Dhava means the husband or beloved. So what is the meaning of the beloved of the goddess of fortune without the goddess of fortune? So this has two meanings. One is, without the sun, light, there's no sun. But also it states here that the sun cannot be perceived. This is like a homonym, sort of. It's the same exact words, and it has two meanings. The sun cannot be perceived without the sunshine, means there's no existence of it. Also, without the help of the sunshine, nobody can see the sun, because it would be black. Black in a black sky. So without Radharani's mercy, no one can perceive Krishna. She is bhakti, and as Krishna told Arjuna, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra in the Bhagavad Gita. Without unalloyed devotion, I cannot be understood as I am standing before you. So she is the embodiment of unalloyed devotion. She is the intermediary between Krishna and a living entity. Those who worship Madhav alone are ignorant. They simply neglect Srimati Radhika out of their mundane pride. Even Krishna doesn't have his qualities, the same qualities, without her. His beauty is what it is because of its being reflected in the mirror of her love. And because her love is always increasing, so Krishna's beauty and newness is also always increasing. In, I forget whether it was Govinda Lilamrita or Krishna Bhavanamrita, it says that when Krishna feels separation from Radhika, he looks like a dried up lotus flower. So I said, how is that possible, that he could look like a dry lotus flower? So Gurudev said, just like you, I've seen you when you're sick and you don't feel well, you look like this. And he made his face. He said, so you look different, so why shouldn't Krishna look different when he's suffering in separation? So anyone who neglects Srimati Radhika, and if we think that we can have a relationship with Krishna without her, even all throughout the Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam is called the Swarup of Krishna. But the whole Bhagavatam is really a glorification of Srimati Radhika. As it's stated in the first verse of the first chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Janma Dishitonvaya Ritutaschate Subhigyan Swarat Tene Brahma Radaya Adikavaya Muyanti Yatasuraya Tejo Vani Nudamita Vinimayo Yatrutushago Mishad Tamna Swena Sadani Rastakuakam Satyam Param Dimahi. So, what is the Satyam Param, or the Supreme Absolute Truth? Srila Gurudev and Srila Prabhupada, in his commentaries to the Bhagavatam, quotes Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur that the first, most general meaning of the verse is that the absolute truth is Krishna. Then, higher than that, it is, Krishna in his Aishwarya feature. Then higher than that is Krishna as Brajendra Nandan, because his Aishwarya feature of Lord Narayan is only a part of that. And then more complete is Krishna with Radha. Then more pointedly, the Satyam Param is Radhika. And then finally, it's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna covered by the mood of Srimati Radhika. So, really, Bhagavatam is a glorification of Radhika. Anywhere you look in the Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam means the beautiful story about Krishna and his devotees. So how could anyone be a devotee without the power of bhakti? And she is the full power of bhakti, and by her grace, different devotees get different amounts of that bhakti. So in all the chapters and all the cantos, it's secretly a glorification of her. Don't ever associate with such persons who neglect her. If you desire the loving playfulness of Brajaras to appear in your heart. So these songs and this verse, all the verses in this song, are quoted by different kinds of persons, those who are in the right line and those who are in the wrong line, those who are in the Gaudiya line and those who are in the Sahaja line. They all sing these songs. But when it says neglecting Srimati Radhika, it means her whole line can't be neglected. Sarup Damodar, Rupa Goswami, his whole line down to the present Guru. Srila Gurudev gave a lecture in Holland a few years ago, which we called Boycott the Sahajiyas, where he discussed that they also write translations and commentaries of Raghunath Das Goswami's books, Chakravarti Thakur's books, and all the Rasic books. But then, and everything looks nice, but then all of a sudden you're entrapped and you fall away from the Gaudiya line. Because then they recommend recommend that you should imagine that you're a certain gopi when you haven't reached that yet. And they criticize Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, saying that he's not really a sannyas because he took sannyas in front of a picture of his Gurudev. So many, many statements they make to divert one from the opposite, from the actual path of bhakti. So don't ever associate with such persons if you desire the loving playfulness of Braja Ras to appear in your heart. If you develop pride in being Srimati Radhika's exclusive servant, then very quickly you will meet Gokul Chandra, because he's always looking. He makes all kinds of endeavors to be where Srimati Radhika is. So if one is serving her, automatically Krishna wants to go there. For example, he'll come and sit on a tree in Yavit, in the courtyard of Radharani's house, and make all kinds of sounds, coo-hoo, coo-hoo, like a cuckoo, to get Radharani to come out. And then as she's opening the doorknob, moving the doorknob, her bangles jingle, and Jatila says, "Who's there?" And then she has to stop and come back later. Or, as you see in the Prem Samput picture and book, Krishna takes the form of a demigoddess. Another time he takes the form of a girl singer. Another time he takes the form of a manicurist and garland maker. He goes through all great lengths to meet with her. So if one is serving her, automatically, and because of their love for Radharani, the Manjari's love for Radharani, Krishna is also actually enchanted by their beauty, which is made of their prem seva, or their service and love to Srimati Radhika. And sometimes Krishna uses those manjaris to meet with Radhika. Like, for example, if one of the manjaris is picking flowers and putting it in her basket to give to Radharani, so Radharani can make the garland for Krishna, Radharani will grab her and say, "Who are you that's picking and stealing my flowers?" And so the manjari will run behind Radharani and take shelter there, and then Radharani will become angry at Krishna and twist his arm and make it hurt and say, "How dare you hurt my Sakhi like that?" And that's exactly what Krishna wanted. So if you develop pride in being Srimati Radhika's exclusive servant, maidservant, then very quickly you will meet Gokula Kana. Kana is just a nickname. Brahma, Shiva, Narada, and the Shrutichari's, Shrutichari Rishis, that is the Shrutis. Shrutis are the scriptures. And in certain scriptures, the glorification of Srimati Radhika is there, Radha and Krishna. So the Shrutis, they know what's in there, so they develop a desire to participate. So they also perform austerities for many thousands of years. So they're called the Shrutichari Rishis. They took the form of rishis and performed great austerities, and then they became gopis. So you might ask, whatever happened to the Shrutis then? Did they disappear? No, the Shrutis are eternal. So they all worship, and Narayani is Lakshmi Devi. They all worship the dust of Srimati Radhika's feet. Vasanti will now recite the prayer. No, you don't know that one. At the beginning of the songbook, one of the prayers in the Mangalacharana. No, actually, this is a prayer glorifying the mantras. Yate kin kuri, and page 11. Yate kin kuri subho sakaluka kuvani Nityam parashya purushasya shikanda mole Tasya kudara samadhyay prishabhanu jayas Tatake vikunja bhavananguna mahajanasyam. O daughter of Prishabhanu Maharaj, the Supreme Lord, the source of innumerable, unlimited incarnations, one of whom breathes in and out universes, who wears a peacock feather in his hair, falls at the feet of your maidservants and propitiates them, means begs them to please them, with humble and grief-stricken words to be allowed entrance into your kunj. See, what happens is, as you notice in these paintings here, the manjaris, headed by Rupa Manjari, Rati Manjari, they're standing guard outside the kunj. And when Krishna comes late, and he has signs of being with another gopi, they tell him, you can just go right back to where you came from, because my Sakhi is not interested in seeing any black snake. So Krishna becomes overwhelmed with grief, and he falls at the feet of the Manjaris, that it was just an accident, I was on my way here, and then they grabbed me, and they said, well, we don't believe you. So finally he falls at their feet and begs them, and then they bring him into the kunja. Where'd it go? So in humble and grief-stricken words, he begs them to allow him entrance into your kunj, where you engage in playful, amorous pastimes. If only I could become one stick on the broom used by your sakis to clean your delightful grove. That grove is so auspicious, the footprints that are there, and your fallen or broken ornaments, necklaces, ankle bells. So I want to be a stick on that broom. Of course, the devotees don't want to become, they want to become a manjari. They don't want to become a stick on a broom, but it's showing their humility. How glorious is that broom? Or I want to become the air that carries your aroma to Krishna, which makes him like a magnet to come to you. He doesn't become like a magnet. The air is like a magnet, and the air takes him to you. But the original prayer that I was thinking about is about Brahma Rudra Narada, Brahma Rudra Shiva Narada Bhisma Mukhya, which is that great personalities like Brahma, Shiva, Bhishma, Narada, they can't see even, they can't get the the darshan of you and Krishna together in your pastimes with him. And Krishna, they hardly ever get to see Krishna. And that same Krishna, he, what does it say? Did you find it? Is it there? In the songbook? Or you weren't looking for it? I don't think it's there. It's not there. So therefore, he's praying, Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur, that I want to engage with Ras in your service, who the tip of whose toe even Brahma and Narada can't approach. And who Krishna faints when he gets just a sidelong glance of you, not even a straight two eyes, but just a mere sidelong glance out of the corner of your eye, Krishna faints. So that Radhika I want to serve with Rus. With Rus means in my constitutional form as a Mantri. So he's continuing. Uma, that is Parvati, the wife of Lord Shiva. Rama means Lakshmi, the consort of Lord Vishnu, who lies down on the causal ocean. Satya, Satyabhama, the queen of Krishna and Dwarka. You have it?
What's the difference between Narayani and Rama?
I'm sorry? Rama is discussed in the Brahma Samhita about the Lord and his creation. That Narayan, who lies down in the causal ocean, his consort is Rama, and her dim reflection is Maya, or the Joni, the embodiment of material potentiality. And the dim reflection of the glance of Lord Narayan is Shiva. And Shiva Linga unites with the Joni, and that produces all the living entities and the cosmic manifestation. And my understanding is that Narayan is in Vaikuntha, but you can check with other authorities to confirm, because my understanding is very limited. So here's the verse. Yo Brahma Rudra Sukhanarda Bhisma Mukhyar Alakshitona Hasa Purusha Shatasha Sadhyo Vasi Karana Chanamananti Shaktim Tam Radhika Charanareno Anusmarami. I meditate after the ways of the previous Acharyas on the Anusmarami. Anu means following in the footsteps of the siblic succession. Smarami, I meditate. Also, Anu means continuously. So I meditate after the ways of the previous Acharyas upon the foot dust of Srimati Radhika, whose unlimited power instantly subdues the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is not easily seen. Krishna is not easily seen, and Krishna himself immediately falls at her feet and faints and rolls on the ground in the misery of separation. So she, whose unlimited power instantly subdues the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is not easily seen by great souls like Brahma, Shiva, Sukada, Narada Muni, and Bhishma, who are really great souls. Then, Uma, Brahma, Satya means Satyabhama, Sachi means the wife of Indra. Chandra means Chandravali. Rukmini is the first queen of Krishna. They're all manifestations or partial manifestations or partial expansions of Srimati Radhika. And this is explained in the revealed scriptures. One of the revealed scriptures that this is explained in is Chaitanya Charitamrita. In Sanatan Shiksha, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaking to Sri Sanatan Goswami about the opulences of Krishna, that just as Krishna has so many expansions, Vaibhav Prakash, Vaibhav Bilas, and so many various kinds of expansions, so does Srimati Radhika. The gopis are the most plenary expansions, then the queens, then the Lakshmis, innumerable Lakshmis, then the wives of the demigods. And finally, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur begs at the lotus feet of those whose wealth is the service of Srimati Radhika. So he's teaching how to pray up the disciplic succession to all the acharyas and all the gopis and all the mandris to get her that wealth, which is the only wealth, not money, position, comfort, but that's the real wealth. Knowledge, material knowledge, is also not a wealth. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in one of his other songs, laments that, "I find now that all my material knowledge is just like a javelin in my heart, because it binds me to identification with matter." Any questions or comments? Can you speak louder?
About this song. I have a question about one Harikatha, when Srila Gurudev talked about the Dipavali Shusha and Yasumati Nandana. And Srila Gurudev talked that we cannot touch that the ocean of Krishna Lila. We cannot touch. But we can touch that the ocean of the water. What the Gurudeva said exactly? What's the meaning of it? You didn't touch the ocean of the water, but you can touch the ocean of the rasa.
Seems pretty clear to me. We can go to the beach and touch the water, ocean. You can jump in, swim around, but we can't touch that ocean of Brajaras. I can't see any other meaning in it than the obvious one. Is that clear?
No.
Can't you touch the ocean water? Don't you have beaches in Brazil?
Yes.
So can't you touch that water? I don't understand the question.
Yes, yes. I need to touch Sadhana Vajana, but on a beach, you said, no, the ocean of the Rasa Lila. But if I follow Vidin Maga, yes, the first step is Guru Padashraya. I touch these 10 topics, I touch the beach of the ocean of Rasamu. This is my question. I have doubted this because if you said for me a long time ago, you cannot be thinking rather. This is imagination. After you spread beyond imagination. But if I have impressions in my heart, I haven't, sure, if it's this impressions, if it's imagination, what is this?
Okay, I think you asked a few different questions. I'll repeat what I think you said, and you can tell me if I'm right. The first question is, there are 64 limbs of bhakti, and the first 10 are in relation to service of Guru and the previous acharyas. So you're asking that Gurudev said, we cannot touch the ocean of Braja Ras, but follow the first 10 limbs of bhakti, that is, following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas, following the instructions of Guru, taking initiation, hearing his instructions, are we on the beach of that ocean? Well, I never heard of the analogy by Gurudev, so I can't say about the beach analogy. You know, I don't want to make up my own analogy about the beach. You know what I mean? But you're definitely on the way. I think that's a question for Gurudev, because only he can invent analogies. But you're definitely on the path to the shore of that ocean by the first ten limbs of bhakti. Does that answer the question? I can't use the word beach, only he can. Fellow? So the second question is that you said that I said that in the conditioned stage, we can't think of Radharani. We can only think of our imaginary conception of Radharani. And you're asking if you feel that you have impressions on your heart, is it possible that it's not imagination, but it's the real Radharani of what she looks like and what she's broadcasting from her moods? Is that your question? So in the conditioned state, it will be imagination, because in the conditioned state, I'm attached to this body. I'm attached to my false ego. I'd rather be praised than be blamed. I'd rather eat something that's palatable than not palatable. I'd rather be comfortable than sitting on a bed of nails. I'd rather be so many things of the dualities. I still like guys. I mean, after all, I think they're cute. So as long as I'm on that level, then it's going to be imagination. The sporty comes, actual sporty of the real thing, comes at the stage of bhav. At the stage of asakti, some vague impressions may come in the heart. But before asakti, it's going to be imagination or a semblance. In ruchi, it may be a semblance of the reality. And before that, it's total imagination. I might remember a painting that I saw, or I might make up a painting with my mind's eye. When one actually gets a vision of the real thing, then he comes to the platform of greed. And on that platform, we have no interest in material life. I remember in Holland, there was a darshan where one devotee said that some other devotee said that he got a vision of Krishna. So Gurudev said, okay, if he has a vision, okay, but that means he has no more attachment in the material world. There's a symptom of somebody who has the vision. If we fit in the category of that symptom, that is, I have no other interest than bhakti, then there's a possibility that what I saw was not my imagination. If I still have material desires and anxieties, likes and hates, then it's definitely imagination. There's symptoms. Does that answer the question? So I can't speak for you particularly, I can only speak in general. Any last question or comment? Like I asked Gurudev if it's possible to become Krishna conscious in one life. And he said, of course, if you're like Raghunath Das Goswami. That is, he's getting visions of Radharani, then they disappear, then he feels like he can't live for one more moment. Did you ever feel like you can't live for one more moment? Like suppose you're in a fire, and a forest fire, and the fire is just about to envelop you. That second, in between not being enveloped and being enveloped, that's what he feels like in separation before the next spurti comes. When again he enters into internal antardasa, internal state, and again he's experiencing his life as Rati Manjari. So if we're like him, then surely we can get the real thing. I'm sorry? Very good. Very good. Imagination is actually, depends on the kind of imagination. Imagination can be a step, as she said in Gurudev's Falakus Manjali class. It could be a real step towards not imagination. Because if I'm imagining from what I've heard and from what I've read, like if I'm imagining that Krishna all of a sudden has three arms, that's nowhere in scripture. But if I've read it and heard it, and then I'm trying to think according to what I've read and heard, then that image will help me. Because I'm not thinking of the images of matter. I'm trying and praying, and then they're seeing that. And then I might be blessed with the reality. The reality doesn't come from our endeavor, it comes by a descent of the reality. But if they see that I'm making the endeavor, and I'm using whatever faculties I have, including my imagination, then they become pleased. Thank you. Okay, we're going to end here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Gurudev ki jai, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai, Sri Radhastami ki jai, Gopri Manandi, Hari Hari Bol.